1 Kings 21, 17 to 19. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in Naboth's vineyard, where he has gone to take possession of it. Say to him, this is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property? Then say to him, this is what the Lord says. In the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours. 1 Kings 21, 17 to 19. Naboth's vineyard. God steps in. God steps in. Now I wonder if there's any young man listening to me, and you have an idea that you might be attracted to the ministry, as you call it. You want to become a preacher. Are you ready for it, my friend? Are you ready for it? Have you got a romantic idea about preaching? A sentimental idea? The glory, the kudos of it? How people look up to you and all the rest of it? Well, take a good look at this passage. This is preaching. This is prophecy in the Old Covenant, preaching today. This is what it is to be a minister of God, a servant of God. God steps in. Now, how to misread the Lord? You see, Ahab has had his way. This spoiled brat. He's gone home miserable and wretched. His wife has stepped in. What's the matter? Well, I want that vineyard. Well, I'll get it for you. And she has schemed and planned and got these louts together. And Naboth has been murdered. And his blood has been eaten up by dogs. Licked up. And God has been silent. Elijah has said nothing. What's going on here? Is God deaf? Is God blind? Is God ignorant? It's blasphemy even to suggest you. It's Belshazzar's feast, my friend. Belshazzar is drinking wine to his gods. He's using the vessels and all the rest of it of the temple. He's taking them away to Babylon. He's riding high. But even as he's riding high, he was arrested by God. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. And even this night, and even that night, the Medes and the Persians took him. God is not deaf. God is not dumb. God is not ignorant, my friend. No, no, read Psalm 73. The psalmist said, I thought, I wondered, I didn't know how it could all work out. And then I understood when I saw what you really were doing. I knew. Read Job 34, verse 21 and on. Read Proverbs 15, verse 3. Read Psalm 139. God knows. He knows what's going on behind closed doors, shuttered windows. He knows what's going on in your heart, my friend. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows what's going on in your life. Oh, it's all in secret. Oh, no, it's not. There is no secret to the Lord. God sees it all. And although it appears he has been silent, he's really been waiting his time. And God's time has come now. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Now the word of the Lord comes to him, the prophet. And I want you to go down. You're going to go down to meet Ahab. Now, God didn't speak directly to Ahab. God didn't speak directly to Jezebel. He could have done that. But he chose to speak through Elijah. You see, God is sovereign, and God has his way. God could have spoken to David when he sinned with Bathsheba, but he chose to speak to him through Nathan. God seems to do this. God is sovereign. God knows what's been going on. I know what Naboth has had to put up with. I know how Naboth has stood. I know what Ahab has wanted. I know what Jezebel has planned. I know what's gone on. It's all open to me. And I want you to go to him and say to him. Now, let's look at this. Look how God introduces it. Go to Ahab, king of Israel. Well, Elijah knows he's the king of Israel, but God is reminding him. Who rules in Samaria? Well, Elijah knows that. But God is laying it on the line to his prophet. He's now in Naboth's vineyard. I know where he is. He's gone to take possession of it. And that's where I want you to go. And so Elijah has to go and face Ahab in Naboth's vineyard, the very place of all the arena of all the trouble. And I want you to go, and I want you to spell it out to him, say to him, tell him plainly, lay it on the line. Now notice that he's not going to talk nice, sweet nothings to Elijah, Ahab. He's going to tell him straight. Tell him, you've murdered this man. You've stolen his property, and you're going to die for it in a dreadful way. Can you see how confrontational Elijah has to be? When I say lay it on the line, it's not sweet nothings and sugary, soft diversions. Elijah hasn't got to be a rabbit or a mouse. He's got to be a man, stand up to this king. Remember, Elijah has been terrified out of his wits of this king and his wife. But he has to go to confront him. And praise God, although Elijah is a fearful man, and though Elijah's a man like us, and he's got these weaknesses that we have, that I have, nevertheless he goes, and he's prepared to go, and God tells him to go. This is what it is to be a preacher. This is what it is to be a prophet of God. And God says, go for the real culprit. He doesn't say go for the scoundrels. Don't go for the soft option. Go for the real man. Go for Ahab. Go for Jezebel. And when you speak to him, don't talk about us and we. Nathan, when he addressed David, had to say, thou art the man. Personal, direct. This is confrontational. And the same here. Say to him, this is what the Lord says. In the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. You've murdered a man. You've stolen his property and so on. You, I'm blaming you. Not shuffle it off even onto Jezebel. Ahab, you're responsible. I remind you of that cartoon in the Times Ed when I was a teacher. The teacher towering over the pupil with a cane in his hand. The teacher had a cane in his hand. In those days, they could cane them. And he said, Wilkinson, whatever your name was, Wilkinson, some blame your genes, some blame your upbringing, some blame this and that, but I blame you. I blame you. This is what Elijah has to do. In the name of God, he doesn't go for the soft option. He doesn't stand in a pulpit 6 feet above contradiction. He doesn't address 1,000, that's easy. He addresses one. I remember years ago when I was preaching in a very small assembly. One man foolishly, stupidly said to me, oh, it must be very cozy for you down there with that few. You see, he never really stood in a pulpit to preach, had he? Preaching to 1,000 is easy work. Preaching to one is very difficult. Nathan had to do it with David. Elijah has to do it with Ahab. This is not a comfortable job. This is a direct confrontation. He doesn't have to divert Ahab's attention. He goes for the jugular. He isn't there for a cozy chat, a nice fireside talk. He has to be precise. He has to be exact. He doesn't go for the soft target. He doesn't stand in the pulpit above contradiction, no. In Naboth's vineyard, this is the place, face to face, not amongst a great crowd, but one to one. Of course, we have many examples of Scripture. Elijah here, Nathan, John the Baptist, Paul, Christ, Peter. These are the men. These are the men that we need today. We don't need rabbits in the pulpit. We don't want them. We don't want diverters of attention. We don't want soft, sugary soap. What we want is men, and we're men who can take the word of God and confront the people. That's in the public, but in the private too, my friend, we need to, each of us, brothers and sisters, ministers of Christ, I speak to myself, we need to have the courage, the grace, the love, not in bitterness and self-interest, but for God's sake, in the name of God, to stand for his truth and the gospel and for Christ and to confront. Yes, this is what the prophets did. This is what the preachers in the New Testament did. And this is what we need today. We need this kind of grit and authority. I'm sure that this can easily be misunderstood, and those who are pulpit demagogues will go away very happy. My friend, it's not just in the pulpit, it's one-to-one, impersonal confrontation. The things have to be done. It's not just behind the pulpit desk and pulpit curtain and pulpit rail. It's in a personal contact. We need grace to deal with this. We need really to be sent by God for this. But this is what I think the gospel ministry is. And any young man listening to this, forget the romance. Forget the sentiment. Forget the kudos. Are you prepared to be as the prophets were, as John the Baptist, as Paul, as Christ, as Peter, as Nathan, as Elijah, Elisha, and all the rest of them? Are you prepared to stand for God, whatever it may cost you? Even as some of the prophets found, it cost them their lives. May God raise up men of Elijah's stamp. The Lord knows. Don't misread the Lord. He knows. Unbeliever, don't get the wrong idea. God sees. He may not be visiting in judgment today. Remember Khrushchev? He said, we've shot rockets into space and we haven't found God, therefore he doesn't exist. Poor man was using the wrong measuring stick. God sees. He knows. And in his time, he acts. And when he acts, men must watch out. May God arise and bless his word, even as we think about it here. Amen.